The Greg Kelly Show.
Everybody is really upset about this Transgender Day of Awareness, even though it was yesterday. I see a lot of folks also are really mad that Trump made something like $3 billion last week. And now I see that people are really upset. Well, he shouldn't be, because his Truth Social thing went public. And that is now the valuation, I think, is several billion dollars, his part of it. Well, how is that so? I mean, the Truth Social is losing money. It's losing, well, a lot of these companies lose money. Big tech giants lose money all the time. Amazon was losing money. AOL was losing money. It takes them a long time to figure out how to monetize this stuff. Twitter, I believe, may have been losing money. So, look, if someone's willing to buy it, that's what it's worth. And it's a beautiful thing. And they are just going crazy right now. It is wild. Hey, have you felt it? You know what? If that Eric Adams goes out there again and tries to convince people that New York is, hey, man, it's the biggest, safest city in America. Ships. Float at sea. I know I almost said something bad. But I said ships float at sea. And that's true. They do. Hey, just for the hell of it, I am memorizing things again. The Harry Lorraine memory book is doing wonders for me. Harry Lorraine. Now, I'm putting it to use because there are things that I want to know. I want to know them hard. I want to know them cold. You know, I confronted somebody at a dinner party, and it wasn't really a dinner party. It was a small get-together. It was a kid's birthday party a couple of weeks ago. And you know what happens at these kids' birthday parties? I get bored as hell. I love it. I love it. After about 10 minutes, I want to, you know, I could die. I don't know what. And, you know, you have those conversations with the other fathers, which are cool, but dudes are kind of standoffish with each other. You know what I mean? They don't open up that easily. Hey, man, how you doing? Yeah. Where do you work? Oh, yeah. You know, you just kind of, you just don't, I do it myself. I don't know what the hell it is. We're somewhat wary of each other. And friendships take a while to build. So I was bored and I just started mixing it up. I just decided to, you know, well, let's really talk about this. Let's have a conversation. And hey, how did I start on this? What was the thing that I was going to say? The birthday party, and somebody was, oh, the memory thing. Yeah, thank you. And somebody was really upset that Donald Trump said what he said about NATO. Said what he said, like, you know, hey, if you don't pay, we're not going to protect you. And guess what? They paid. It was all about negotiating. And yeah, these countries are supposed to, you know, pay their fair share. If you want military protection from a superpower like we are, you got to pay a certain percentage of your gross national product or gross domestic product, whatever they're calling it these days, and you got to pay. So this person was so irate that that Donald Trump was being critical of NATO, or and it was being reported that he wanted to leave NATO, and the precious NATO. And I was defending Trump like I do, and that gets people really upset, some people. And then finally, what about NATO, our precious alliances? I'm like, precious alliance. Yeah, I know. Hey, do me a favor. Name for me 6 countries that are in NATO. Okay, that's easy. France. England. And I'm like, yeah. You don't know, do you? You don't know. You have no idea. There are dozens of countries in NATO. What are they? And they started guessing. They started Israel. Wrong. Israel's not in NATO. Well, then I realized something. I don't know that many countries that are in NATO. I don't know them by heart. I don't know them, you know, cold. So I broke out my Harry Lorraine memory book and brushed up on it, and I learned the entire list of NATO countries. And I can whip it out just like that. And so can you if you buy the Harry Lorraine. I'm not pushing it, by the way. It's like he died about maybe a year ago. He was 90-something years old. One of the most amazing guys I ever met. Yet he could show up, as he did, Johnny Carson audience, and memorize everybody's name in the entire audience. It's just, and you can actually, I've never done anything like that, but I can look at a list and memorize it in about 5 minutes using his techniques. For instance, would you like to know the countries of NATO? No, I'm not looking at anything. All right, wait a second. How do I do this? Okay. Let's get started. Belgium, Denmark, Canada, France, Iceland, Italy, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, the United Kingdom, the United States, Greece, Turkey, Germany, Spain, Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland, Bulgaria, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, Albania, Croatia, Montenegro, North Macedonia, Finland, and finally, Sweden. All right, so I got to find this guy and engineer the same argument or somebody else and just whip out those countries like that. And, you know, I think that's, I also want to know the Constitution. I also want to know my rights. I want to know, there's no limit to what the things that we need to know. And also to the activities that we are engaged in. We are limited. How much can we actually do? We can give money. We can write checks. We can get on social media. We can write letters. We can go out and vote. We can get our friends to vote. We can what? I think create social media videos. You know, I was thinking about the guy. Can't remember his name. Speaking of great memories, I can't remember his name, but he died about a month ago. A great man, actually. And you know where he spent his life? In an iron lung machine. The man was from Dallas, Texas. He died, I think he was 60-something, maybe 70, early 70s. Spent every day of his life in an iron lung machine since the age of 9. He contracted polio. Polio. And they had to put him in an iron lung machine, which somehow, I don't know how that thing works, but it makes your lungs move. And it's a great big metal tube, and they don't make them anymore. So the thing looks like it's from, you know, 70 years ago, and it is. And he lives his whole life in this thing. Guess what he did? He went to law school. He went to college. He had a successful law practice. He wrote books. What could he do? What could he move? Nothing other than his head and his lips. He was paralyzed from the neck down. Can you believe that? And in the last few months of his life, guess what he did? He became a social media superstar. He became the biggest thing on TikTok. Now, I know TikTok, we have got issues with TikTok, but I'm going to put those aside for a moment. Now, what is this guy's name? The Iron Lung Guy. Iron Lung Man Dies. Paul Alexander. He was 78 years old. And what a beautiful soul this guy is. He's alive somewhere. Ready? Lawyer, author, TikTok star, spent 72 years in an iron lung. Paul Alexander, who died at 78, was paralyzed with polio at age 6 and relied on the machine to breathe. Still, he was able to earn a law degree, write a book, and late in life build a following on TikTok. Hey, do me a favor. Get the video. I want to hear what he sounds like, okay? After he was paralyzed by polio at age 6, beautiful write-up in the New York Times, actually. Paul Alexander was confined for much of his life to a yellow iron lung that kept him alive. He was not expected to survive after that diagnosis. And even when he beat those odds, his life was mostly constrained by a machine in which he could not move. But the toll of living in an iron lung with polio did not stop Mr. Alexander from going to college, getting a law degree, practicing law for more than 30 years. Hey, as a boy, he taught himself to breathe for minutes and later hours at a time, but he had to use the machine every day of his life. He died on Monday. This is March 13th, according to a statement by his brother, Philip Alexander. He was one of the last few people in the United States still living inside an iron lung, which works by rhythmically changing air pressure in the chamber to force air in and out of the lungs. And in the final weeks of his life, he drew a following on TikTok by sharing what it had been like to live so long with the help of an antiquated machine. No official cause of death was given, but Mr. Alexander had briefly been hospitalized with COVID-19 in February, according to his TikTok account. After he returned home, Mr. Alexander struggled with eating and hydrating as he recovered from the virus, which attacks the lungs and can be especially dangerous for older people with breathing problems. He contracted polio in 1952. According to his book, 3 Minutes for a Dog, My Life in an Iron Lung, he was quickly paralyzed, and doctors at Parkland Hospital in Dallas put him in an iron lung so that he could breathe. Hey, isn't that where they brought Kennedy after he was shot? Sure is. One day I opened my eyes from a deep sleep and looked around for something, anything familiar, Mr. Alexander said in his book, which he wrote by putting a pen or pencil in his mouth. Everywhere I looked, it was all very strange. Little did I know that each new day my life was unavoidably set on a path that would become unimaginably strange and more challenging. While innovations in science and technology led to portable ventilators for people with respiratory problems, Mr. Alexander's chest muscles were too damaged to use any other machine, and he was reliant on the iron lung for much of his life. When he was inside the machine, Mr. Alexander needed the help of others for basic tasks, such as eating and drinking. For much of his life, that help came from his caregiver, Kathy Gaines, Mr. Alexander wrote in his book. Mr. Alexander launched his TikTok account in January, just 2 months ago, and with the help of others, he began creating videos about his life. Some addressed broader parts of his life, like how he practiced law from the iron lung. In other videos, he took questions from his more than 330,000 followers about more mundane yet interesting aspects of his daily life, like how he was able to relieve himself. A caregiver had to unlock the iron lung, and he would use a urinal or a bedpan. In one video, Mr. Alexander detailed the emotional and mental challenges of living inside an iron lung. "It's lonely," he said, as the machine can be heard humming in the background. "Sometimes it's desperate because I can't touch someone. My hands don't move, and no one touches me except on rare occasions, which I cherish." Mr. Alexander said in the video that over the years he had received emails and letters from people who were struggling with anxiety and depression and offered some advice. "Life is such an extraordinary thing," he said. "Just hold on. It's going to get better." Paul Richard Alexander was born on January 30th, 1946, in Dallas to Gus Alexander and Doris Emmett. After playing outside on a summer day in 1952, he came home with a 102-degree fever, a headache, and stiff neck, his mother wrote in the foreword to his book. "I had every reason to be terror-stricken, and I was. Polio, the dreaded disease for every parent, was stalking through our city like a black monster, crippling and killing wherever it went. Here was Paul with every symptom." Mr. Alexander spent several months in the hospital where he was close to dying on several occasions. Finally, one day, the doctor called us in and told us Paul could not live much longer, and if we wanted him at home with us when he died, we could take him, his mother wrote. His journey home with the iron lung made workers at the hospital tense, and it involved a truck with a generator in the bed to keep the machine working, his mother wrote. When he was 8, Mr. Alexander learned to breathe on his own for up to 3 minutes by gulping in air like a fish. Mr. Alexander told a newspaper reporter that he was motivated to learn to breathe by a caregiver who offered him a puppy if he tried to learn to breathe on his own. He got his puppy, and it later became the inspiration for the title of his book, 3 Minutes for a Dog. Isn't this absolutely beautiful and heartbreaking at the same time? We're going to hear from this guy. We got his video all ready to go right when we come back.
Greg Kelly.
If you're suffering from ED, you're not alone. 60% of men over 60 have this problem. Help is out there. The professionals at Elevate Wellness can help you be the man you used to be. They've helped thousands of patients and have a 96% success rate. What are you waiting for? Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Your first visit is only $99. ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Help is out there. ElevateWellnessGroup.com.
Stop. ED is no laughing matter. This could be caused from low T, high blood pressure, or diabetes. Elevate Wellness can help. 40% of men over 40 have experienced this. Make the call to Elevate Wellness now. 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. The office visit is only $99 and includes exam, blood work, test dose, and consultation. Call Elevate Wellness. 973-354-2276 or ElevateWellnessGroup.com.
Your health is important. Your sexual health is very important. And like everything else, it has challenges. As many as 50% of men over 50 have sexual-related difficulties, like ED, low testosterone, and low energy. That's where they come in. Elevate Wellness has real professional and in-person solutions. Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Or visit ElevateWellnessGroup.com and get back to where it started. Office visits only $99 this month.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
This is the Greg Kelly Show.
Wow, that story really moved you to tears. Paul Alexander, what a guy. Paralyzed all that time in one of those iron lung machines, which is huge, by the way. I mean, it's a massive barrel, basically. And he's lying down, and only his head is visible. Anyway, he could write, he could do all kinds of things, but he had to do it with a pen in his mouth. And anyway, shame on us whenever we get down in the dumps, huh? This guy's amazing. Can we hear him? All right, he became famous in January with this TikTok stuff. Go ahead.
Paul, are you ready for the interview?
I'm ready when you're ready.
What would you like to say to the world?
When I was 6 years old back in the ancient times.
What year was it?
I'm sorry?
What year was it?
1952. I was 6 years old and playing in my backyard like every other 6 year old. And I didn't feel good, so I went in, told my mom, "Mom, I don't feel good." And like every other parent in that day and time, she panicked.
Is it okay if I sit beside you? Pull up a chair?
Okay, please do whatever.
Hold on a second, Diego. So how long is this interview? Get one of the feel-good TikTok videos that we were talking about, right? Where, you know, those TikTok videos are great. They're like, you know, 20 seconds long, and bring an inspirational message of hope. We read his obituary, a lot of the story he covered for us. But I am kind of curious how he inspired so many, hundreds of thousands of people. And what can we do to help get Trump elected? I can't formally endorse anybody. I'm not doing that. However, I am going to vote for him. And I hope you do, too. But that's up to you. And you may want to raise money for him. You also may want to support him. Hey, the other thing I'm a little bit worried about, you know, Donald Trump, this is something else that's going on. I already talked about how these cases, even though they're probably not going to go to trial, at least the federal cases before the election, you know, they're still hurting him. Yes, they've helped him, but they're also hurting him. It ties him up in terms of time. finances if there is a conviction. But there's also this. When Trump goes into these courthouses, right, all the time, you know who he's surrounded by? Great people, right? With guns, with guns, with guns. Somebody could snap, and who knows what could happen.
You're listening to The Greg Kelly Show.
You know, I know politicians, what do? I mean, a classic kind of move when a politician is campaigning, you kiss a baby. You go out there and kiss babies. Maybe that should change. I don't know if the people who came up with that one anticipated Joe Biden, who seems to, he's kissing too many babies, adults, people he doesn't know, grabbing them, groping them, especially women. So whenever he gets near a baby, it just gets, it often gets weird. I noticed that the babies seem very suspicious of Joe. You might have seen this picture. It was in Pennsylvania. He's giving a speech, and then he turns it over to somebody else, and that person's talking, and Joe is right there by the podium. And then he spots a baby in the crowd, just right in the middle of the event. He walks over and looks at this baby. The baby looks at him like it's not – the baby isn't fearful. The baby is like very skeptical, very not buying it, just – I mean, borderline, yeah, there's a hostility there. And I kind of get it. And I've seen this happen with Joe and children on other occasions. There's something about that guy and his motives. I don't know, children, dogs, they kind of sense things that not everybody can sense. Now, all right, right now the Easter egg roll at the White House, right? By the way, if you ever get invited to the White House to go to a picnic, like a July 4th picnic, do me a favor, don't go. All right, they are the most, it's hideous. It's totally hideous. You got to wait online for 5 hours. You think it's going to be you, the president, and, you know, the Easter Bunny. It's going to be 10,000 people. I'm serious. It's like going a great adventure. It's like it, with no rides. It's just, I can't take it. I can't take it. Now, granted, Mar-a-Lago, that's why Mar-a-Lago is in some ways better than the White House. It feels more exclusive, but it's actually friendlier. The security is tight, but it's not overwhelmed with people. So you feel like, wow, I'm really here. This is cool. And if you look closely, regular people are there. Regular people are there. They've done very well, but they're regular. They're not snobs. It's not like certain clubs, certain country clubs or whatever. It's a different kind of vibe. And I loved it. All right, so this is the thing. If you want to participate, if you're a child at the Easter egg roll, what do? They encourage you to design your Easter egg. And they're taking all kinds of submissions. This went out several weeks ago, submissions for the artwork. And it's all very nice. I mean, let's see here. This is a flyer put out by the White House. Celebrating Easter is one of the oldest time-honored traditions at the White House. Since 1878, American presidents and their families have celebrated Easter Monday by hosting an egg roll party. Held on the South Lawn, it is one of the oldest annual events in the White House. It has changed and evolved through the years, and each first family has put their own stamp on the popular event. As part of the White House Easter traditions, America's egg farmers for nearly 50 years have proudly presented an intricately decorated commemorative Easter egg to the First Lady of the United States. In 2021, the White House expanded on this longstanding tradition by displaying youth-designed eggs in the White House East Colonnade, so you can be part of this tradition. The 2024 Call for Youth Art. On behalf of First Lady Jill Biden, the Adjutant General of the National Guard are asking youth from National Guard families across the United States and all U.S. territories to submit artwork inspired by the theme, Celebrating Our Military Families. Huh? Celebrating Our Military Families? Can't you just celebrate Easter? Can't you just celebrate whatever the hell you want? Children should depict an egg template, see art submission form, a snapshot of their life, favorite activities, scenery in your state, your military family, a day in your life, etc. National Guard families, most of them are not active duty, by the way. So their life looks like your life. Anyway, all right, we all like the National Guard. except for Nikki Haley's husband, selected designs representing the unique experience and stories of National Guard children will be brought to life on real hen eggs by talented egg artists from across the country and displayed at the White House this Easter. And wait a second. They're going to take the kids' sketch and copy it? Selected designs representing the unique experience and stories of National Guard children will be brought to life on real hen eggs by talented egg artists. What about the kids? Aren't they the talented egg artists? Yeah, this is getting so complicated and weird. Artwork needs to be submitted by email. MongYouthPrograms@gmail.com or 139th Air Wing.Military.FamilyReadiness@US.Air Force.Mil. Man, this is like real. We recommend this art activity be completed by a child between the ages of 7 and 17. I think 15, 16, and 17-year-olds are kind of over with the painting of the eggs, right? Okay, but now there's a whole sheet of terms and conditions and restrictions. The submission must not contain material that violates or infringes any rights of any other party, including but not limited to copyright, trademark, blah, blah, blah. I guess they put that on everything. But here's where it gets weird. The submission must not include any questionable content, religious symbols, overtly religious themes, or partisan political statements. The submission must be consistent with... Wait a second. Overtly religious themes? You can't have an overtly religious theme on Easter? It's Easter. You know, my God, this is like a moment. I'm like, I feel the earth. This is a shift. I thought that, okay, you know, maybe they were I mean, I could see no Kwanzaa on Easter, to be honest. I could see that. I could definitely see no Kwanzaa. I don't really know what Kwanzaa is. Although the people I've heard talk about Kwanzaa seem like nice people. I'm not just saying that to give myself cover. I just, every time I hear Kwanzaa mentioned, but the submission must be consistent with the image and values of sponsor and be consistent with and satisfy the purpose of the submission. You know what? Why didn't you damn cancel the Easter egg roll if it's going to be like this? Cancel the damn thing. Now, what they are doing right now, these little nitinoid jerks, they're looking up, well, this happened in the Trump administration too, and they're showing a form. Well, that doesn't mean Trump is responsible, actually. You know what it means? This is a deep state thing. This has been institutionalized, this war on Christianity. You have to go out of your way. You know, one of the, I don't want to call it a tragedy of the presidency of Donald Trump because he triumphed, but let's face it, they tried to sabotage him. And they took up a lot of his time with the phony Russia stuff, with the phony Ukraine stuff, and the day in and day out presidential harassment. But there were things that he could not like dive into. And the machine of government, the machine that perpetuates itself above all else, produces this crap, this transgender awareness crap, this resolution. It's a machine. It's not democracy. It's a machine, a self-serving machine. And it's weird as hell. Barbara, hello.
Hi, Greg. Yes, well, and coming out of the current White House, this is not surprising because this is consistent with their behavior, especially since we have such an avowed Catholic president. However, the Bible tells us that whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And that's exactly what's going on. We can't put Bible verses or religious images on Easter eggs. Easter eggs, Christ is risen. Easter, that's why we have Easter. And we can't also, the same thing at Christmas. Across the country, many governments are taking out, and many individuals taking out manger scenes. They want to deny Christ's birth is the reason for Christmas. And if we deny God, he will deny us before his Father at the last judgment. And that's something for people to think about. I've heard Joe Biden many times make the joke of, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." He is mocking the sacrament of penance when he does that. This man is bringing, and I'm not judging him, but I can see, we can all see, he's asking judgment upon himself. And so far what we see is not good. And he wants to spread it throughout the country because, after all, if we look to God and if we look to the risen Christ and we look to God for our needs and our happiness and that of our families, we don't need government for every need. We know that God made us capable of fulfilling our own needs, that I don't have to rely on some bureaucrat or some politically powerful person to grant me freedom, to grant me food, to grant me medical care as a favor because it works for them at the moment.
Yeah, Barbara, it's so amazing what's happening. Are you worried right now or optimistic? I am somehow optimistic. We're all on guard. We're all awake, I feel like. And if we're not awake, we're waking up. People are waking up. I feel like, and let's face it, right now it looks like Trump is going to run away with this election. Now, I know we can't take anything for granted, and they're going to, who knows what the hell they're going to try. Are you feeling hopeful? I'm kind of feeling pretty hopeful.
I am feeling much more hopeful than I was a few months ago. And I also heard some very good, you give us all advice about how to help with the election. Could I share some of that? I listened to a presentation by someone from the Leadership Institute and talking about elections, and they're nonpartisan. They'll speak to Democrats, Republicans, whoever, and the principles are the same. Number one, vote early, because when you vote early, they know that your vote has already gotten. They don't have to spend money calling you, sending people to your front door, etc. You're taken care of. Give your money early when the media is less expensive than it is when they get close to the election, so they can get more for their money and they know what money they have to count on. Once you have voted, make sure you have volunteered to either be a poll watcher, a poll worker, or most importantly, one of the people who counts the mail-in ballots and verifies the signatures. And they gave us an estimate of how much it costs a candidate. When you do not vote early, they must still spend money to get your vote.
All right. I like it. Get out there and vote early. Barbara, thank you for everything, all of your wisdom, and so much more. These are amazing times, and I feel like miracles are happening all over the place. I always said it would take a miracle for Donald Trump to win, but miracles have a habit of finding Donald Trump. Thank you so much, Barbara. To be continued. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly. Is the Greg Kelly Show.
Uh-oh, I got pictures from my daughter's first field trip. She went on a field trip to a bakery. If that sounds lame, it's actually not lame. It's pretty cool. I remember going to the Stella Doro factory when I was a kid. That was great. I went to a pretzel factory too once. So, and here she is with the staff at the factory and all these beautiful children. She's just 4 years old, and it's just wonderful. True gifts from God. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, all right. People are talking about her. I was going to do something on her anyway, but Nicole Wallace, who's one of the most, forgive me, she's wretched. I mean, she's just terrible. There's a Republican. This is their version of a Republican. She cried when MSNBC's version of a Republican, she cried when the Dobbs decision came down. She cried. She hates Trump. She loves Joe Biden. She was a top staff person for George W. Bush. And like that obviously would be totally antithetical to her present positions. Not really, in a way. Because Bush and his people, they were all about two things, power and money. That's real. The issues were just, you know, like just kind of beside the point. Whatever you got to do for power and money. All those people in the George W. Bush White House, people I used to work with, by the way, Interestingly, she was there. She was a communications director, messaging for the White House. She never had anything to say to me when I was the White House correspondent, except for one thing. One thing. She comes over and she makes a big production out of saying it, too. I'm having lunch with Brit Hume. Like, wow. Brit Hume was like my boss's boss. I don't have lunch with Brit Hume. Good for you. What do you want me to do with it? She never tried to, message. No. It was a networking opportunity for herself. Hey, wait, what's going on here? A car rams a gate at an FBI office in Atlanta. Okay, that's terrible. Shouldn't happen. But watch this. Oh, MAGA's responsible. MAGA. No, these things happen. These things happen all the time. Way before Donald Trump showed up. Here is that ambitious grifter, Nicole Wallace, on the MSNBC show. She's all freaked out because these charges against Trump are falling apart and the gag orders that are unconstitutional. She has an emotional breakdown almost. Go ahead.
So, it's time to do something different. Like, we're not going to have this conversation again. I have come on the air with breaking news about requests for gag orders because of threats for judges and their kids more times than I could count today before I got ready. And Judge Luttig, I think it's time. I don't know who has to write the banners at the bottom of my show. I'm sorry in advance. But Donald Trump broke the rule of law. We should cover a broken judiciary in this country. Donald Trump managed to delay every federal criminal trial based on facts that he barely denies. Donald Trump
Look, you guys made it a federal case. Guess what happens with federal cases? They take a long freaking time. They take a long time. They wanted to rush to judge. They waited. They waited to indict him right as the election year gets underway. And they're mad now because it's not working out. Donald Trump outsmarted them again. Again! Outfoxed them all. Keep going. Ah, screw it. She's just upset and looting. But she's lying all the time because Donald Trump has not threatened anyone. He hasn't threatened them. You can criticize people. This is still America. You're allowed to, especially judges. You're allowed to. I can criticize Joe Biden. You guys criticize Donald Trump. We can criticize and comment on our Congress, our court. I understand you guys can have a freaking hate rally on Justice Kavanaugh's front lawn and nobody seems to mind. You want to hear a threat of a judge? How about this, Chuck Schumer? He ought to be in jail. This is against the law.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Wow, that's a direct threat. If you do this at work, you won't know what hit you. That's a damn violation of federal law. It absolutely is. Tony, hello.
Hi, Greg. Oh, my God. How did they get away with it? But I have to tell you, the reason I'm calling in terms of memorization is one of the things as a person of God, and you are such a great expositor for somebody who's pretty neophyte in the Word of God. When you talked about Trump and King David on Friday, you were like an evangelist. You broke it down so clearly and simply. Never stop, Greg. And one of the things we as Christians, and Christianity isn't religion. It's a relationship with Jesus, one-on-one, and then with your fellow human. And that's the simplicity and beauty of it. And you always go to the Word of God for the final say on things. Anyway, we pray, we donate, your encouragement to that woman to get all those people. But the other thing is, memorize the Word of God so it's in your head and in your heart, whether it's a whole phrase or a line, and it strengthens you. And Greg, never stop. And Annalise, you've got to do a little segment on her again, because that whole thing you did with her where she was hitting her sister, it's so typical of the age, and she's so brilliant. She tried to deflect. She tried to say, what would you do to protect me, Daddy?
Yeah. Well, Tony, thank you so much for your encouragement. And that was pretty wild when they were talking about Trump as King David, and it hit me. And I'm like, wow, I'm reading the Bible and I'm learning. And I'm so excited, to be honest. And you're right about the memorization. It does help. I don't use any trickery, though, for the memorization. You know what I mean? I just kind of recite it to myself often on the way to work. And it does. It just is etched in your mind and in your heart. I love it, Tony. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's do, Sunny. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Elizabeth in Manhattan. Yes.
Yes. Hi, Greg. I wanted to offer one thing and congratulations from even before COVID on your approaching dieting and having success. The church I attend offers a parallel interpretation of the phrases in the Lord's Prayer, and one that has helped me tremendously in dieting. Give us our daily bread. The church I attend says, give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections. And then my second comment, think about that one. It's a good one. Famished affections.
I love it. I love it, Elizabeth. I'm so sorry. Listen, do me a favor. There's the music. I apologize. Will you call me tomorrow? I got to hear the next tidbit, okay? You too, Carmine. Thank you.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.